Okay, we're back in the book of Revelation. We started last week back into it. And now we're going to be looking at one verse in chapter 14, verse 13. I'm going to spend 2 weeks on this one verse because I'm going to be using other scriptures in the Word of God to speak on this very important subject. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. So let me just read that verse. It's Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. We've been going through the book of Revelation, and now we're up to that point in chapter 14. So it's verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. We want to talk about this. If you notice your outline in the book, in the bulletin, I'm going to be talking about blessed are those that die in the Lord, then standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and then crowns that are given for faithful service, and then the crowns will be cast at the feet of Jesus. So that's what we want to talk on the next 2 weeks. But we want to start out by talking about believers that live their lives for the glory of God during this time on the earth. What is going to happen when you and I are called from this life? Where will I go? What do I expect to happen? We all have experienced death of loved ones in our families. We know what it is. It's a time of sorrow. Yesterday we went to a memorial service for Louie's mother, Joy Gross. His mother passed away, I guess, a couple weeks ago. So we know what it is. There's a time of sadness. We've all, I'm sure, have wiped away tears from our eyes when a loved one has been called, or a friend, or somebody that we know. Even a national figure. I remember, like it was yesterday, on November 22nd, 1963, about noontime, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Some of us that were living remember that day like it's burned into your mind. You know where you were. You know, you heard the news. I was in New York City at the time when I heard the news. I was standing outside of the apartment building in which I worked, 360 Central Park West. If you know New York City, there's Central Park, 96th Street. Right there. I was standing outside when I heard that news. Obviously, I also remember when the space shuttle blew up. Okay? I was on my way to San Diego. We were just leaving the IBM building in Kingston, and the secretary got a call from home how the shuttle had blown up. It was in January, I believe. Okay? And I remember also when the other one came in and it had the problem. I was going into Thompson House on a Saturday for a ministry. So we all know, not only personally in our lives, loved ones, also friends that we know, but also nationally. It has a tremendous effect on our lives. Things change very rapidly. Even losing a pet can be a tremendous, right? Some of us know that. Okay, we've all lost pets. I remember when our cat Perry passed away. It was on a Friday night. We had left for the children teens ministry. We know he wasn't going to last long. We came home and he had passed on. Okay, he was a special cat to us. I always say he was more than a cat. He would always wait for Donna coming home from Amenia. He would know and he would run downstairs to meet her at the door. So whether it's an animal or, more importantly, a person, obviously, but we know what it is. We've experienced it. And if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, all of us sitting here today will experience it. Now, many of us believe Jesus is going to come within our lifetime. Now, we can't set a date on the return of Jesus or the rapture of the church, but we know he's coming back. That we know for sure. We certainly can't set a date. So I want to talk about this. What happens? I have been at the bedside of a dying saint. I remember when I was preaching up at the Evangelical Fellowship Church in the Bly. John Carlson was an elder there, and we used to go and visit Grant Avery on Sunday morning before the service. And I remember this one Sunday as we were returning from, lived off of Route 28. I know Cookie and Gerald know where he lived, roughly. There's a park named after him, I believe, Grant Avery Park, isn't there? We were leaving his house. And as I'm riding back, John Carlson, who was the elder, I said to John, I said, who's doing his funeral? He looks over at me, he said, you are. Remember that, Marion? You did the playing at the funeral, right? I said, me. So I was relatively new in the ministry, and I said, me? It was around Christmas time. The funeral was Christmas Eve. And as I rode back, I said, wow. I ran over to Baptist Church and saw Pastor Coppenhoff. I said, you don't believe it. I got to do a funeral. What do I do? So he gave me some pointers. But I remember that like it was yesterday. The committal, the burial was at Olive Bridge Cemetery. Some of you know where that is. Okay. This is my hometown area, so obviously I know it like the back of my hand. But these things, these stick in your mind. And I remember when my grandparents passed away. I was only 8 years old when my grandfather passed. I was 10 years old with my grandmother. I remember sitting in Carl's funeral home on the corner of Fair Street there, or right at Pearl Street, I believe it is. It's right on. It used to be there. Now it's on Lucas Avenue. But those things are burned in your brain. So what happens? What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go when I pass from this life? Well, let's look at some verses in the Bible that talk about what happens to those that die in the Lord. First of all, we read here, blessed are those that die in the Lord. As it says, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. So let's look at Philippians chapter 1, 21. Philippians 1:21. Here's what Paul writes in Philippians 1:21. Notice what he says. But he's in a strait here between two things, and I'll explain that in a moment. I'm going to read the verse. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is, as I live my life on this earth, I'm going to live it for Christ. And when I die, it will be gain. Obviously, if it's gain, it means it's going to be better. But Paul's in a strait between two things. He wants to go, but he needs to stay. God has you here for a purpose. When that purpose is completed for your life here on earth, you will be called into heaven as a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't know when it will be for me. This could be the last day I live on this earth. Maybe God is going to choose to call me today. I do not know that. But one thing I know for sure, I trust that I also will have this same testimony as Paul. For to me, to live is Christ on this earth as I live. And when God chooses to call me, to die is gain. So we obviously can see from that verse that dying for the believer is not loss. We often use that terminology. We are sorry for your loss. It may be for our loss, but it's for their gain. Amen? That they're going home to be with the Lord. So praise the Lord. He says here in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, that is fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So there we see very clearly what Paul is saying. It would be far better for me to leave. But God wants me here for you. Okay? You got it? I'm here for you, for my family. But God's going to choose to call me someday. My brother has a way of calling me up when somebody's ready to die. It happened twice. My uncle Frank was in the hospital in Kingston. Donna and I got home from the Amish country late on a Saturday evening. My brother calls me up and he said, you ought to go over and see Uncle Frank. I said, I'll go over tomorrow after the service. He said, you ought to go over tonight. I said, well, I'm pretty tired out. Donna says, you ought to go over tonight. Guess what? I went over tonight. I am thankful I went over that night. I went to his room, or to the ICU, and I said, Frank, this is Frankie, your nephew. I prayed, Frank, Jesus Christ died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. And do you believe on him and trust him as your Lord and Savior? Do you place your faith and trust in him alone? He squeezed my hand and said, yes. The next morning I went over after service. As I walked into where he was, Don and I, the relative came out and said he just passed away. I said, praise the Lord that I went over. I'm thankful for my brother and Donna, who said, you ought to go over. It happened a second time. My brother calls me up. He says, Harry Davis is going to pass on. You ought to come up and see him. I said, John, I got a lot to do. He said, you ought to go up and see him. I went up and saw him. His wife, Kathy, was there. Kathy, I grew up. She's a little younger than me. I think she's probably more of Rosamund's age, right? Kathy. They're sitting there, made a cup of coffee. Harry was in there in the other room. I went into the room by myself with just Harry. Harry's laying there, and I said, Harry, this is Frankie. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm Johnny's brother. I said, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. So I told him about the gospel, about Christ dying for our sins and so forth. I said, Harry, if you truly believe this in your heart, squeeze my hand. He squeezed my hand. I walked out of the room, had a cup of coffee. Kathy went in the room. He passed on. 2 minutes after, I said, praise the Lord. Okay. Life goes quick. And it's so important that we share the gospel with them. So therefore, in that case, if they both truly came to the Lord, the moment they closed their eyes, they were absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hallelujah, right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. chapter 5, the passage that Gerard read. Donna's mother passed away, and I went home to be with the Lord on New Year's Day, 1978, at about 11:15 during the morning service on Sunday. My mother passed on and went home to be with the Lord. My brother said to me, "What are we going to put on our tombstone?" Here's the verse I said to put on her tombstone. 2 Corinthians 5:8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When you are absent from the body, you will be present with the Lord. Now, the Lord's present with us right here, but we're talking about when we depart from this life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What happens when a person passes on? You're looking at a body. If somebody called me up this morning and said they're going to be here in spirit, that means their body's not coming through the door, but they're going to be thinking about us. Now, within this body is the spirit and soul. We're made of three parts: spirit, soul, body. I'm looking at bodies, you're looking at a body. But what happens when we're called? The soul and spirit depart from the body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's going to be incredible. That's what we put on our tombstone up in the cemetery. What's that, Pine Bush or Fairview? Pine Bush, is it Pine Bush Road or something? But we, so again, the Apostle Paul is talking about our tent here, our tabernacle. We live in this tabernacle, but one day we're going to be called from it, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime. But you might say, well, what happens when if the Lord came right now? It would be an incredible, incredible thing. Somebody's written a book. It's called The Great Escape or Great Disappearance. Who is that, Luke? David Jeremiah. That Great Disappearance. Anybody seen the book or have the book? Okay. It shows a church building like this. And it shows the pastor up there, and all of a sudden the rapture occurs and a lot of people disappeared. But some people were sitting there. I don't know if he showed the pastor standing there, but there's going to be some pastors when that happens. They'll be standing in the pulpit and they'll be saying this: I knew it was in the Bible, but I didn't really believe it. I didn't believe it, but it's happened. It's happened. So that will happen. So one day that will happen. Obviously, we don't know again the date or when it will happen. But let's just think about this. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, let's just turn to that. This is the great chapter of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul is a very lengthy chapter, 58 verses. What he's talking about here is the resurrection. Now, again, my brother asked me the question. He said, why did Jesus have to go through all that suffering and abuse and be nailed to a cross? I said, John, he died for our sins. That's the only way. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I said, when the Roman soldiers came around and came to his cross, they didn't have to break his legs. He said, why? I said, because he was already dead. And he knew why they broke their legs. Everybody knows why they broke their legs on the cross? So you can't breathe properly. You suffocate. But when they came to the cross of Jesus, they didn't have to. He was already dead. But he said seven sayings from the cross. One of the sayings was to a man that was on one side of him of the cross, called the one that was a criminal. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say to him? "Truly I say to you, or verily I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Okay? He also, the last words he uttered, commended his spirit into the hands of God, the Father, was, "It is finished." He had completed the work of salvation. Now, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You might write this down. We don't have time to turn to it, but it's Luke chapter 16, 19 through 30, 31. And let me just explain what that talks about. Prior to the cross, just picture this. If I had on the overhead here, I would draw like an egg and put a separation between. This is called Sheol, Hebrew, Hades, Greek. When the dead died, they went to Sheol, or Hades, prior to the cross. The one side is the place of torment, and the other side is the place of Abraham's bosom, or paradise. So when Jesus died on the cross, he went to paradise, and the thief with him. But then when he rose from the dead, he took the departed saints out of that section and took them to heaven. Guess what? Where is paradise today? Well, let's turn. Well, we got 1 Corinthians 15, but hold your finger there. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is writing here about the thorn in the flesh. But in verse 1, he says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, and how that he was caught up into paradise. See that? The third heaven is paradise. Now, where's the third heaven? When we see something flying in the sky, we say the birds are flying in the heavens. We might think of it this way. That's the first heaven. Where the solar system is the second heaven. The third heaven is where God's throne is. And that's where paradise is. Now, it's not in Abraham's bosom. It's been taken in heaven. That's where paradise. So when he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." When that thief died on that cross, as Jesus died that day, he's in paradise. And now he's in heaven. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians. Do you believe in the resurrection? In IBM, in the lab where I worked, where the technicians worked, and I would go in there, they used to have a sign in there. It's sort of a funny saying. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you ought to be here around quitting time. You know what they meant by it? Also, they had another sign in there. "Please keep the place neat. Your mother doesn't live here." They were trying to get a point across. But what about the resurrection? What about if Jesus had died on the cross, was put in the tomb, and he didn't rise from the dead? where would we be? We would be in big trouble. But he did rise. And this is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to go through a few of these verses. At the very beginning of this chapter, he talks about the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he rose according to the scriptures. And that's been delivered to those that believe. And praise the Lord. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then he was seen of above 500 brethren at once in verse 6. After he rose from the dead, Jesus, he spent 40 days on this earth. You may recall in the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, he's walking along the Emmaus Road, and two disciples are walking with him. And as they're walking, these two disciples are talking to him as if he's a stranger in Jerusalem and doesn't know what's just happened there the past few days. They're talking to the one who it's all about, but they didn't realize it. But then he opened to them the scriptures, and their heart was burning within them, and they realized that's the Christ. That's the one that rose. That's the one that was crucified. That's the one that rose from the dead. Now it goes on here. He was seen of James and all the apostles, and last of all, me. When did Paul see him? Huh? On the road to Damascus. This very orthodox Jew encountered the Lord, and he turned to Christ. When Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul was persecuting believers, and when believers are being persecuted, the Lord is. And he came to Christ that day. His life was changed tremendously. And he's the great apostle Paul, whom's written so many books, epistles in the New Testament, and shared the gospel around the Roman Empire. And that's the one that said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now he's going to say in this 1 Corinthians 15 that if this was not true, look what he says in verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you among there is no resurrection of the dead?" Listen, we're going to rise. See this body? I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to get a glorified body. There's probably some of you here that have some aches and pains, is there? Guess what? When you get the new body, will you have any aches or pains? No. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no death. All those things are the former things are going to pass away. When the resurrected body comes, your body will, you're not going to have, oh. You ever hear somebody when they get up and they go, oh. Like, I've heard it. I've never seen it myself. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. We've had sicknesses. We have this and that. We have infirmities. It happens to all of us in some degree or another. Right? So that's what he's talking about. And he goes on here. He says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not, then is Christ not risen." So we celebrated Christmas this morning. Do you realize in less than 3 months, we'll be celebrating Easter resurrection on the end of March 31st. What is Easter? What is Good Friday? We know what it is. Good Friday is when he died for our sins, and resurrection or Easter is when he rose. Up from the grave he arose. It's a glorious day. It's a day of rejoicing that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He was in the tomb, but he rose. Amen? So, he goes on here, he says in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." Hey, listen, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, what am I doing in this pulpit? If he didn't rise from the dead, this is a waste of time. right? And your faith is in vain. My preaching's in vain. It means it's useless. We're not just going around flapping our gums and our lips to talk about this, to sound pious. This is the truth. We serve a risen Christ. Christ is alive. Amen? Give the glory to God. We're not serving a dead Christ in some tomb over in Jerusalem. That tomb is empty. Some of our folks went over there, and right above the tomb it says, "He is not here, he is risen." The tomb is there. In fact, he got buried in a borrowed tomb. The way I understand borrowing something is you're going to give it back to him. Joseph of Arimathea, he only spent a few nights in that tomb, right? Now, he goes on here. He says this, and in verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God has that he be raised up, Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." He said, listen, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a false witness. I'm telling you stuff that's not true. I'm telling you fables. But I'm not, because Christ is risen. So when you declare Christ is risen, you're telling the truth. And that's what Paul's saying. We're not just here on a Sunday morning to hear a bunch of fables or a bunch of untrue stories or a bunch of make me feel good, but it does not really true. This is the truth. If I didn't believe in the resurrection and I didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be standing here. He goes on here. "And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, and yet you're in your sins." You're still in your sins if he didn't rise. See, here's what it is. The death of Christ without the resurrection of Christ would not prove that who he is. But the death of Christ with the resurrection of Christ proves who he is. Amen? Because he rose. He said it during his earthly ministry. He said, "I will be crucified, I will die, and I will rise the third day." And praise the Lord. Okay? And he goes on here. In verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep." Now the word asleep, the word sleep. Everybody in this room slept last night. But this word asleep here is not that, is it? What is it? Death. The word sleep in the Bible can mean physical rest, or it can be death. So in this case, it's death. Now what he says here, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. Listen, if my hope is in Christ just in this life, and I don't have the hope of the future, you talked about hope the other night, Ralph, didn't you? Okay, what hope do you have? Do you have the hope of Christ? Do you have the hope of the resurrection? Do you have the hope that you're going to be forgiven and you're going to be with the Lord when he calls you from this life? Do you have that hope? You know, if I didn't have that hope, I would be most miserable. You know why I'd be most miserable? Because I'd say, man, I'm doing all this stuff and it's a vain. When I prepare messages or do bulletins or do anything for the Lord in this church or for wherever it is, I don't look at it as a waste of time. I look at it as a valuable work of the Lord. Amen? And it's not a waste. Serving the Lord is not a waste. So he goes on through. You might read this chapter over later, but I want to come to the very end of the chapter. "But thanks be to God," verse 57, "which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, listen. Let me say this to you very clearly. as a Christian, you're victorious. You're not living in defeat. Right? That defeat is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about victory. The victory is in Christ, because Christ is risen. Amen? Now look at, based on that, look what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not a waste of time. You ever have to do something and you think it's a waste of time? Listen, when you're, what I'm doing here this morning, I know what this is. This is the work of the Lord. And I take this super seriously, because this is valuable work. This is the most valuable work I've ever done in my life, to serve the Lord, whether it's in my home or in my church family or in the world in which I'm called to live. We need to look at it that way. That's why we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. Don't quit. Sometimes it gets tough, but God in his grace will bring you through with a high hand of victory. And we're his people as Christians. We're the resurrection people. We belong to him. Now, like I said, I want to spend another message on this. I just want to quickly give you a little bit of a preview. Judgment. Will we face judgment? This is a trick question. Yes and no. We will not face the great white throne judgment. We're going to talk about that next week. Is it found in? Huh? We're not going to face that. But we will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. It's found twice mentioned. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10. Let me just read one verse. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I have it in the notes here, 11 through 15, it talks about what you're going to do life-wise. But let me just read one verse here in Romans 14:10. In Romans 14:10, the Apostle Paul, and he writes it also in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Notice what he says. But why doth thou judge thy brother? Or why doth thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not to be judged for our sins. Our sins are judged where? The cross. Christ took our sins, but I am going to face how God, the gift and talents he's given me, how have I used them as a believer? It's not for salvation. It's not to go to heaven. It's for rewards. And we're going to talk about those rewards I have listed here, five of crowns. Not for that. My salvation is based in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross by the grace of God, plus nothing else. And Romans 8:1, it says, there is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We will not face condemnation. We are reserved from the wrath to come. It says that in 1 Thessalonians, two places. We will not face the wrath of God. We will not, because as believers, we are with the Lord. We belong to him. But the judgment seat of Christ is, how have I used what God has given me? And that will be, based on that will be rewards. But even those rewards, guess what? It says about the 24 elders doing that. But I believe that's going to be all of us. We're going to give it back to God. Christ. Listen. Now let me end. How many times have I said that? I am so excited about this, I don't know what to do. A lot of people live in fear. And I understand, we all understand fear. I'm telling you, if I got something wrong with me, I go to the doctors, and he says, you got 6 months to live. I probably am not going to be too excited about that. Not that I don't know where I'm going, but you know what I mean. Every time somebody goes to the doctors, they're always thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get a good report. Everybody, right? Some of you have probably had that happen. But, and I understand that. We all understand how we might feel about that. But also, I want to let you know, and I want to let everybody know here before I close. I want you to take examination of your own life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You might say, well, I'm a young person. I got lots left. Well, let me just tell you this. If you know anything about what happened on the other side of the river this week, three young people were in a car. They were students at Kingston High School. And two of the three were killed when they were hit by a truck. Anybody remember reading that? 15 and 16 years old. Not to scare you, but to let you know that you can't say, I got plenty of time left. But even in spite of that, don't you want to serve the Lord the rest of your life? That's the reason I see. I don't know how many years I got left, but I want to finish strong in the power of the Holy Spirit, for the grace of God, for the glory of God, to serve Him and serve the church, serve my family. And God will call me when it's His time. And I know that, because that's what the Bible teaches. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. Why is it blessed? Because we're going to be with Him. So, you might read the end of the book, Revelation. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. The former things are passed away, and I make all things new. And we're going to see the Lord face to face. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I see Him through the eyes of my heart right now, but I'm going to see Him with these two eyes in my head, and I'm going to see Jesus. And what an incredible sight that will be in heaven when I see Him. Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing Paul. I'm looking forward to seeing loved ones that have gone on before. But most of all, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Amen? He's the one that died for my sins. He's the one that rose from the dead. He's coming back one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We serve the Lord of this universe. He's alive. He rose from the dead. And He's coming back. Praise the Lord. Amen? Give Him the glory. I am thankful today. So if you're here without Jesus, come to Him. Don't turn away. Don't say, I got a lot of time left. I'll maybe do this when I get older. Do it now. Not just for the sake of going to heaven when God calls you, but to serve Him and to live your life for Jesus Christ every day. This is the key. Amen. Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the blessings that come from Your hand of grace. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for in our lives. Thank You, Jesus died and rose from the dead. And because He's alive, because He's risen, we can live also and be risen too in Him. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. If there's one person here that's never come to Christ, I pray that today they would come and receive Him as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing.